Hello, my name is Stacey Nechama Goldman. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacey Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Zayin, Chapter 7. This chapter includes the genealogies of Yisachar, Binyamin, Naphtali, the other half of Menasheh, Ephraim, and Asher. Missing from this chapter and the entire book are the genealogies of Dan, Zebulun, and Naphtali. Malbim informs us that their books of familial relationships, Sefer HaYichus, were lost in the exile. If you look carefully, as each tribe is introduced in our chapter, they are all preceded by the word B'nei, children of, or Uvenei, and the children of. There is one exception, Binyamin. There is a disagreement among the commentaries as to the significance of this change in language and lack of introduction. Binyamin Bela Vabecher Vidyael Shlosha. Binyamin Bela and Becher and Yediel 3. His name is mentioned without any introductory words. Perhaps this Binyamin is not referring to the son of Yaakov, the head of one of the 12 tribes, but rather a continuation of the descendants of Yisachar who precedes him. Contributing to the conclusion is the beginning of chapter 8, which opens with the genealogy of Binyamin, with some of the same names, but also many different names. According to the Radak, this is indeed Binyamin, the son of Yaakov, and this chapter is giving a partial list of his family line. Malbim disagrees and asserts that this is a continuation of the line of Yisachar. He states all the discrepancies in the names as proof. Radak points out, as further support that this is the actual tribe of Binyamin in verse 8, the mention of the name Anatot. Chuvnei Becher Zmira v'Yoash, v'Eliezer v'Elioenai v'Amri, v'Remot v'Avia v'Anatot v'Alamet, Kol Ela b'nei Becher, and the sons of Becher, Zmira and Yoash and Eliezer and Elioenai and Omri and Yeramot and Abia and Anatot and Alamet, all these were the sons of Becher. He says that this person built the city Anatot, which was in the land of Binyamin. This city is famous as a city of Kohanim and the birthplace of Yirmiyahu, the Navi and Kohen. He says the same for the name Alamet in this verse. Verse 12 presents another textual anomaly, as it appears after the summation of either Yisachar or Binyamin, depending on if you agree with Radak or Malbim, but right before the sons of Naphtali. It also includes a very unusual name. Bishufim, Bichupim, Bnei Ir, Chushim, Bnei Acher. Rashi explains that Ezra separated them from the rest of the tribe of Binyamin, since he was not sure if they came from that tribe. Malbim explains that Ir is the Iri mentioned in verse 7, who was a descendant of Binyamin, who Malbim holds was a descendant of Yisachar. But who is Acher? The word itself translates to another or after in English. Malbim presents an interesting idea from an anonymous source that combines this verse with the next one, which reads, B'nei Naphtali, Yechatziel, V'guni, V'yetzer, V'shalum, B'nei Bilha. The sons of Naphtali, Yechatziel, and Guni, and Yetzer, and Shalum, the sons of Bilha. First, Malbim notes how short the list is for Naphtali's descendants, and tells us the rest were lost, as was the tribe of Dan, the other son of Bilha. He quotes an anonymous commentary, which claims that both verses 12 and 13 are from the descendant of Bilha, Jacob's concubine, whom Rachel gave to him to overcome her infertility. He then notes that the name Chushim is the same name as the son of Dan in Bereshit 46:23. So why would he be called Acher? He explains that Dan was positioned after or behind the Mishkan, and the rest of the tribes during their travels in the desert. His tribe would be the one to collect all the stragglers and lost objects. So perhaps the tribe of Dan is indeed included here after all. Radak comments on the fact that Bilha is mentioned at all. None of the other names of the mothers of the original tribes appear. He quotes a midrash that says this is to praise Bilhah, who willingly married Yaakov and did not need to be convinced, as opposed to Leah's maidservant, Zilpah. Verse 15 presents a number of confusing aspects to the commentators. Umachir lakach isha lechupim uleshupim, v'shem achoto ma'acha, v'shem hasheni tzlofchod, v'tiyena letzlofchod banot. And Machir took a wife of Chupim and of Shupim, and the name of his sister was Ma'acha, and the name of the second was Slofchod, and Slofchod had daughters. Despite the complicated language acrobatics to match the generations to the lineage, Radak says that Slofchod was the same Slofchod we learn about in Bamidbar chapter 26, who had only daughters and no sons. This was especially relevant for the laws of inheritance, which would have left Slofchod without any land in Israel attributed to him. His daughters, Machla, Noah, Chagla, Milcah, Tirzah, approached Moshe to see if anything could be done. Hashem validated their concern and expanded the law for families without sons that their daughters could inherit their father's land. Malvim disagrees with this explanation and claims the wording makes it impossible for the Tzlofchod in our verse to match up chronologically with the Tzlofchod mentioned in Bamidbar. He goes so far as to take a more literal approach in interpreting this verse, which seems to state that Tzlofchod was a woman in this case, the second wife of Machir, one of two sisters of Chupim and Shupim. This wife, Tzlofchod, had only daughters and no sons. Verse 18 presents us with some very information that is surprising to see in the Tanakh. Ve'achoto hamolechet yalda et ish hod ve'et avi ezer ve'et machla. And his sister, who reigned, bore ish hod and avi ezer and machla. Who is this woman who seemed to have ruled over land? Radak explains that she was the sister of Gilad, and she ruled over part of the land of Gilad. He continues that even though she was not mentioned anywhere else in the Tanakh, she was known throughout the tradition because she was a great woman. Rabbi Yisachar ben Tzvi Tamar, in his 20th century commentary on the Talmud Yerushalmi, mentions this verse in his discussion of whether Ataliah, the evil queen of Yehuda, after both her husband and son were killed, could be considered as part of a list of legitimate kings of Yehuda. He asserts that she was illegitimate and that she ruled by force. He says the same of the woman in our verse, that she was not a legitimate ruler, but rather ruled of her own accord, contrary to the will of the leaders of the time. Moving on to the lineage of Ephraim, we are told a sad and confusing story in verses 21 through 23. V'zavad beno, v'shutalach beno, Ve'ezer ve'elad, ve'haragum anshei gat hanoladim ba'aretz, ki yardu lakachat et miknehem. And Zavad his son, and Shutalach his son, and Ezer and Elad, and the men of Gat, the natives of the land, slew them because they came down to take their cattle. Verse 22, Vayit abel Ephraim avihem, yamim rabim, vayavo echav lenachamo. And Ephraim, their father, mourned for them many days, and his brothers came to console him. Verse 23, Vayavo el ishto, vatahar vateled ben, vayikrat shmo beri'ah, ki bera'ah haita beveto. And he went into his wife, and she conceived and bore a son, and he named him Beri'ah, because during a time of trouble, she was in his house. When could this story have possibly taken place? Somehow, while Ephraim was still alive, many of his sons went to Gat, which was the Mediterranean coastal land of the Philistines next to the land of Canaan. The Talmud has a very interesting explanation in Sanhedrin 92b while discussing the famous dry bones in the book of Yechezkel that are miraculously brought back to life. While Rabbi Yehuda asserts that it is a parable, Rabbi Nechemya proclaims that it actually happened, and Rabbi Batera stood on his feet and said that he is a descendant of those very same people who were brought back to life from the dry bones. Who were these people? Rav claims that they were the descendants of Ephraim mentioned in our verse. Apparently, they miscalculated the end of the slavery in Egypt and left before the appointed time. This would explain why Ephraimites would be near the land of Israel while Ephraim was still alive to mourn them. The genealogy of Ephraim continues until Yehoshua, the son of Nun, the leader of Bnei Israel who replaced Moshe Rabbeinu and led the conquering of the land of Israel. Our chapter concludes with the lineage of Asher, one of whom is named Birzait, which can be translated as the owner of olive oil. Rashi explains, the father of Birzait, the governor of that city. But in Bereshit Rabbah, it says, Rabbi Levi and Rabbi Shimon gave different interpretations of Birzait. Rabbi Levi said it means that his daughters were beautiful and were married to high priests who were anointed with olive oil. Rabbi Shimon says it means that his daughters were beautiful and married to kings who were anointed with the anointment oil. And since they had plenty of oil, they, the daughters, would anoint themselves with it. Therefore, they were beautiful. For concerning Asher, it is written, and dip his foot in oil. And Rabbi Chanina said, the warm water and the oil with which my mother anointed me restored me to my youth. We have seen many midrashim that highlight for us the plethora of women mentioned or alluded to throughout this chapter. While we don't have many details about who they were and how they lived their lives, I hope you have enjoyed learning about them and their place in the history of Bnei Israel. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.